Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And if I say to you hyperbaric chamber, do you picture a medical setting? Well, when I first heard we'd be discussing hyperbaric, I thought of divers and the bends. I had no idea such a treatment existed or for what kinds of illnesses. But of course, that's why we bring you HealthLink On Air each week, because we patients have all kinds of questions about these things. And to tell us about hyperbaric medicine, we have Dr. John McCabe, professor and chair of emergency medicine at SUNY Upstate, joining us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning.
And welcome back. I'm always pleased when you're here. You're a wealth of information for us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I can't imagine that we have a lot of divers here in Central New York, especially this time of the year, who need hyperbaric chambers for anything. So will you tell us what it is we're talking about here?
Sure. We do actually get some divers here in Syracuse, and there are water bodies close enough where people can dive deeply enough to get the bends if they are not behaving themselves. And the other is we do get divers who take that one last dive in the Caribbean or Mexico and then hop on the plane to come home, and that change in the altitude causes them to get the bends.
Oh.
So it's an infrequent use of our chamber, but it certainly does happen here in Syracuse. The hyperbaric chamber is something that's been at University Hospital for many years. It's a treatment that's been around in medicine for 100-plus years. And interestingly, it really is used to treat a whole variety of different conditions.
Well, let's talk about those conditions in a moment. But tell us what hyperbaric means, because if you're being treated in a chamber, there must be something special in that chamber.
Sure. And the chamber really is that. It's a big, round, plastic tube, essentially, that you go in and lie in. The door closes behind you. And then inside the chamber, we do two things. We give you 100% oxygen, and we give it to you at a higher than normal atmospheric pressure. So as we sit here, we breathe the air, which has 20% oxygen, and it's at normal atmospheric pressure. When you go in the chamber, you get 100% oxygen, and you get it at two or three times the normal atmospheric pressure. So you can kind of think of it as driving lots of oxygen deep into your body. That's really the basic idea.
I see. So why would a patient need that kind of treatment?
Well, there are a number of reasons. So, for instance, in the bends, the real benefit is that we're taking nitrogen bubbles in your body and we're reducing them in size because of the pressure. In patients, for instance, where they have a non-healing wound, say on the bottom of their foot, it really is about forcing oxygen into the tissues around the wound to help the wound heal better. So
I
there
see.
Are different mechanisms for the different diseases, but they're all related either to high oxygen delivery or to the pressure that we can produce.
So there have been studies that show that this high oxygen, I mean, clearly you wouldn't be investing in this kind of a chamber unless those studies were out there. This is real medicine.
Oh, it's real medicine. It has good science behind it. And there are about a dozen indications that are very well studied and accepted both here and throughout the world. And again, they're diverse. Carbon monoxide poisoning, bad tissue infections, the late effects of radiation therapy years after the treatment, the bends, air embolus, where a bubble of air goes in a place where it shouldn't during an operation or a procedure. So those are some of the common indications that we treat.
Well, you know, it brings to mind when we're talking about forcing oxygen into people. Wasn't there a few years ago, there was an oxygen bar, I think they called it, out at Shoppingtown where people could go and get a hit of oxygen? It sounds kind of like a wacky use of it.
Well, you know, there have been a number of wacky uses. There was once Michael Jackson on the cover of Newsweek inside a hyperbaric chamber.
Yes.
That made some bad press. There are sports figures like Terrell Owens, Philadelphia Eagles, who has one that he uses after games, thinks it makes him better. And you're right, the oxygen bars proliferate. But remember, the oxygen bar, where you sit and have a little nasal cannula, only gives you 24-27% oxygen, and you're breathing in at normal atmospheric pressure. So it really doesn't do much.
So it's not the same approach at all?
Absolutely not.
Are there reasons why people shouldn't have a forced oxygen treatment?
Yeah, one of the nice things about hyperbarics is there are very few reasons why people can't be treated in the chamber. So some people are just too claustrophobic to be in the chamber. When the pressure changes, it gives you the sensation like going up and down in an airplane in your ears. And so some people have trouble equalizing the pressure. And then those who have active seizures or a seizure disorder that's poorly controlled. Those are really about the only reasons people can't be treated in the chamber.
So it really isn't so much about their health status. It's more about how outside pressure would affect them.
Yeah, it's really the high levels of oxygen sometimes, rarely, can cause a seizure in mm-hmm. the brain. And then all the other bad effects, if you will, are due really to the pressure issues.
Are there hyperbaric chambers in most hospitals, or is this unique?
It's fairly unique. There's a handful of hospitals and then a handful of outpatient centers. The outpatient centers usually use their chambers as part of a wound care program.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital-based chambers obviously are available 24 hours a day for the emergency indications as well, things where we have to treat someone right away. And also they're able to manage critically ill patients inside the chamber. So those are some of the differences. If you look in the central New York region and you look around for another hospital-based 24-hour-a-day critical care-capable chamber, you'd have to go to Buffalo to the west or to Springfield, Massachusetts to the east, Philadelphia or New York City to the south.
And again, that's not because they aren't around. They're just not there 24/7.
They're not hospital-based.
I see.
There are a smattering of outpatient clinics that have chambers associated with them. But again, typically those aren't available for the emergencies and for the critical care skills.
And what kinds of emergencies? I mean, the things you were describing earlier, I suppose if somebody had the bends, that could be an emergency. What other kinds of emergencies would you have use for it?
Sure. The common emergencies are the bends, carbon monoxide poisoning, from a generator or from a furnace.
Or this time of the year, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. People who have unusual soft tissue infections, commonly referred to as the flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those kinds of infections often do well with hyperbarics as part of the treatment.
They do.
So those would probably be the three most common emergency procedures that we might wake up in the middle of the night and come in to treat somebody in the chamber.
Now, you mentioned that there are some freestanding, they're just organizations that have set these things up and people pay to use them. That sounds a little strange to me, and I know that there are a number of organizations out there, and of course, in the work I do, I hear about them all the time, where these kinds of things are set up, and they're not there for any other reason than to take somebody's money. Certainly it's not going to happen at University Hospital or in a hospital setting, but why would somebody think, what do they think they're going to cure by using one of these?
Well, unfortunately, the field of hyperbaric medicine was plagued for a long time by quackery and misinformation, and for years, many called it a treatment in search of a disease.
Oh.
Now, clearly, the things we've talked about in the settings, a good outpatient setting or a hospital setting, it's real medicine. It's based on science. But there are those who want to pretend to have a hyperbaric chamber, something that delivers less than 100%, less than 2 or 3 atmospheres.
Kind of like the oxygen bars.
Sure, that they'll come and set up in your home for you. And there's a long list of indications, a long list of diseases that people have used hyperbarics for. And it's really based on the idea, how could you argue that oxygen's bad?
Yeah.
So people buy into that idea. And unfortunately, there are certainly those out in the real world who peddle less than real hyperbarics for things that there really is no good proof that it works. A long list. Chronic fatigue syndrome, migraine headaches, autism, muscular sclerosis, cerebral palsy. And I could go on for hours.
And all of those kinds of things. And people are, maybe reading about that on the internet or talking to somebody else, and they think, I'm going to give this a try. And that's really kind of a desperation kind of thing, isn't it?
Sure, sure.
And I have to think, too, that they use it, and if it doesn't work, they're kind of embarrassed to say that it doesn't.
Right. And if they do use it, maybe you see some tiny improvement. It's always hard to know, what's it from? But
sure,
it gives you false hope. So there are nationally, through our national organization, the Undersea and Hyperbaric Medicine Society, about 13 indications that everybody agrees to, where most of the insurance companies will pay for the services.
And that's what I was going to ask. Does insurance pay for it?
And that's really the starting place to look and say, these are the things that routinely get treated.
Because there's evidence that they work for those. And,
right.
And that's the evidence is the key part there. How can people get that information?
Well, the UHMS Society has a website, uhms.org.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our national society. And you can find commonly accepted indications.
Great. And you've got information on your local website here for University Hospital?
The University Hospital website shows our hyperbaric services as well.
Well, what we'll do is put a link to that from our HealthLink On Air website, as we like to do. Make sure people can get that information. And if people want to see you, they get a referral from the doctor?
Easiest way is a referral from their doctor to the Hyperbaric Medicine Unit at University Hospital. We'll consult and see if we can help you.
Excellent. Well, Dr. John McCabe, once again, we're a wealth of information. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.